You get a chance to continue my legacy here in Pinstripes, you know, in the best city in the world, the best baseball city in front of the best fans. This is an incredible honor.
Allen's driven deep to left field. There's a flight. See ya. A long home run for Judge.
Gerrit Cole goes the distance.
Left, it is high, it is far, it is gone! Number 62 to set the new American League record.
This is 161st Street, Yankee Stadium.
Thank you once again for joining us for another episode of the Four Train Savages podcast, episode number 150. Tyler.
Woo woo!
Let's go. My name is Rob. Tyler is on the other end of the Zoom room. Episode 150, and the Yankees just wrapped up a few series against some rivals. We had the series last week, this past weekend against the Boston Red Sox, and then they just finished up their two-game set versus the New York Mets for the Subway Series, which I got to make note of.
It was a funner series than I thought it would be. Funner is not a word, but more entertaining.
It was fun. And I will say it's a little odd because the Mets and Yankees this year are only doing two-game sets. I don't know if they did it last year as well, but I think it's...
Isn't that what it usually is? Is it usually a three-game set? Last year was definitely two.
But maybe they're changing it around because of the expanded interleague play and everything. Yeah. So, but I thought usually they do three games, but sometimes they're weird. I think you are right. Last year they did two, but...
Because we do two-game sets, right?
Yeah. Two here.
With the expanded, actually, will the next one be three since we play all the other interleague teams three times or a three-game series? That would make sense, right?
I'm not sure. Yeah, it's odd.
It's kind of weird, actually.
Maybe because the Mets are now with the expanded interleague play, they want to do two and two, but they treat it more special because, like, you're right, they're only playing the Reds once and they play three there, so they don't want to give them two full game sets because they have to play other teams. That's the logic, I think, behind it. Uh-huh. I could be completely wrong, but who knows? The Yankees split against the Mets and the past weekend against Boston at Yankee Stadium. They lost that series with a frustrating game on Sunday. So we are back to talk about both of them and run through everything. So the Yankees right now, what are we sitting? 39 and 30.
Nine
games back, so that division can the Rays keep winning. They are
just damn good, Rob.
They're crawling back up.
Because we're basically in the same spot we were end of April. I think we were 10 games back when I was freaking out. Now I'm not freaking out because, you know, record's better. But we're still you're still in the same hole you were 45 days ago, you know.
And Baltimore keeps on winning.
Yeah,
Toronto is picking up a little bit of steam, but they are a game back from the Yankees right now. And then, of course, we go to Fenway this weekend to play against the Red Sox.
Fuck Boston!
That's a great clip.
But we're the Yankees are in a weird spot.
They're going to be battling for the wild card.
They are
kind of what it's going to come down to. ESPN, you know, hopefully we get lucky.
ESPN showed an interesting graphic yesterday during the game where the Yankees, which were included on the top payrolls in baseball, and all of them are either out of playoff contention or they are all in wild card spots, no division leaders for
crazy
top echelon payroll. So the most concerning thing I would pull before we talk about the series in detail is right now is the 7, 8, and 9 hitters for the Yankees are the ones doing most of the damage for the offense. Outside of the first Mets game where we had DJ and Stanton had a home run. Donaldson too earlier in the Boston
series.
Double. So that to me, I said it when Judge went down last podcast that listen, the Yankees top of the order, it's not like the
it's not,
fall
it's
off.
It's not scary, but it's not bad.
The fall off from Judge shouldn't be what we're watching now. And I do think that they will turn around because it is baseball, but that is sort of what the Yankees are dealing with in this period of time. And
is it fair to just say they're a 500 team without Judge? Like, is that their ceiling? Like, are they literally a 500
that's what
team?
That's what they're showing right now, which is frustrating.
Yeah, at least with Rodon hurt, Seve not pitching good, and Nestor hurt.
I think
like they're a 500 team.
They have the talent, which is so frustrating, though, to me. I know they're older, and that certainly plays a factor. But when I look at the lineup, when you have Stanton, Rizzo,
DJ,
who are still they may not be in,
well.
They may not be in the prime of their careers. Out looking at DJ, Rizzo, and Stanton, but I still
above
think
average hitters across
still
the board.
I think they're
though.
Above average hitters, mm-hmm. and Gleyber now too. That they should just be getting more production from the top of the lineup, and the fact that Billy McKinney and Jake Bowers, who is hitting well, he now hits at the top
Jake
of the
Bowers.
Lineup. So and Trevino yesterday with a double,
off, like.
Willie Calhoun doing this. So it's a frustrating spot. So you'd think that they have to just at some point be better in that core five of the 1 through 5 should be better. So that's the biggest thing I'm looking for when they head into Boston and then the remainder of June and waiting back for Judge. And that's the best way that possible that you could tread water and then hopefully excel and push ahead and actually be a quality team. Because I get Judge is the guy that makes everything go, but
it makes
the
him
fall
elite.
Off is just
it's too much
for me where I'm saying, come on, fellas.
But you're also right. I mean, if we want to rationale this at all, just because it's the sport of baseball and this is what happens, you go through a couple bad weeks or, you know, a down month. I mean, at least three of the four between Rizzo, Gleyber, DJ, and you could throw Bader in there because he's going to be back tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You should see them providing production outside of – so they can eventually assist Willie Calhoun, Jake Bowers, et cetera, and same with Stanton. I think Stanton will be fine, obviously, but it shouldn't be like you've said, Rob, the fact that we're getting production from these next man up type of guys.
Yeah,
they should be aiding the top of the lineup without Judge.
They should
but
be
it's
a
now,
nice compliment to
exactly
the rest of the guys. What Rizzo is doing right now is bad. I think they showed it. He had the worst stretch of his career, like 0-24, 0-26, something like that. So,
and
Rizzo
it's since
is
the neck
really
injury.
Counting. Yeah,
but they've Tatis. Said, yeah, they've said it has nothing to do with that. Like they've said, he's fine. Is that just who knows what the Yankees really think? But
I would really hate if they then go, oh well, he's really laboring with the neck later on in the year. That will piss me off because you're saying he's playing though. He
like remember when he missed
okay.
a month last year for back stuff where he was just resting up.
Yeah, I think
Rizzo's OPS down to 779.
I think they'll turn it around, but that's just the story of what they are.
I think we go back to what we said like a pod or two ago. We're like, can the Yankees easily get very comfortable with being 10, 12 games up and just kind of putting it on cruise control? Being like, you know, Judge will come back. When Judge comes back, we're not going to freak out too much, yada, yada. So is that – I don't think there's urgency anywhere. Not that I'm going to sit here and scream there should be when you're 10 games back almost, but I don't think the Yankees care, honestly. Not like the players. I don't think the front office cares about dropping a couple series here and there right now.
Yeah, I think
they're unfortunately content in a way with how this has rolled out, considering the Rays are 49, you know, have 49 wins right now or whatever they have.
Yeah, they may be banking on just when Judge gets back because the Rays could hit a skid or they couldn't. But I mean, just looking at their run differential right now to the rest.
If we can
of,
just cut it to like
crazy.
Six, if we can cut the you well, know, that, if we can be six games back by the All-Star break, then you're like, okay, you can make a push.
Well, they're in the polar opposite situation of what the Yankees were in last year. I mean, at this time, I don't remember the exact standings.
We got
the Yankees
up to what, like 15 and a half
had
games
a
up
huge
or
lead. And then the Rays and Toronto got within four, five, six games.
Thank you to a Yankees August.
That's what I think the Yankees front office is sort of thinking like,
on,
is when they get to late August, around their trade deadline, we're going to be getting our maybe a actual trade, or we're going to be, as you joked last time, we're getting our
we're
trade
getting
acquisition,
and Judge.
Our internal trades, and it's
the best
that.
Trade we can ask for, Rob.
I know,
healthy Carlos Rodon and Judge.
I hate when they say that, though. Mm-hmm. It pisses me off.
I'm being sarcastic.
But that's what they'll say. So I think you make a good point of that's what they're thinking. Maybe not the players, but the front office is certainly saying, okay, keep us hovering around this situation. Let's see if we get some guys back and then can make a final push. But – the Rays are damn good, man. They are a good team, and it's an uphill battle. I don't want to say it's impossible, but I said it when the Yankees were really struggling that I don't think that the division was in reach. It technically is in reach, but it is really tough to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the Rays have the best record in baseball by like 6 games over every team. So if the Yankees are in any other division, they're within a game or 3. Of the division leader.
I will say there is some fun, like looking at the divisions and just across baseball, it is funky right now. I mean, you have the Diamondbacks
Miami's
leading the West.
Well, Arizona.
You have the Pittsburgh Pirates leading the Central. You have
Cardinals, 15 games under 500.
Mm-hmm. The Braves are nothing new, so they're kicking ass. But then, like you said, Miami in the.
Dude, the Rangers are so good.
And the Rangers are really good. So
I don't know if you've looked at their
Houston's
baseball
got
reference
some more
page.
Competition.
Exactly. I think the Rangers could win their division. Their lineup is gross.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would trade our lineup for their lineup.
Well, Simeon's kicking ass, right? So
Simeon, Seager's back. Adolis Garcia, Nathaniel Lowe is nasty. Like they're good everywhere.
More competition
like.
In. I mean, could you imagine if the Yankees somehow match up with the Astros in a wild card game or something?
Oh my god, that would be the death of me.
That
That'd
would
be quite
be terrible.
Yeah,
oh.
I'd lose a quick 10 years off my life stressing about that. Best of 3. What is the rule too, Rob? Is it like the last place wildcard teams plays all 3 games on the road? Is that how it works?
I think they all play. I think the road games, I think all of them are. I think.
Well, I thought the third wildcard team is like at a little more of a disadvantage than the top
two.
I don't remember what it was.
Well, I remember last year because last year was the first full year. So Philly, I know, played all games at St. Louis, and they won. And then what was the other one? The other one was Tampa played at Cleveland, but I don't think that was a 3 game. I thought it was all.
They're all 3 out of 5, right?
No, they're 2 out of 3.
Or is it 2?
It's 2 out of 3, and they play.
Yeah,
the away team plays all at whatever the better record is. That's what I believe it is.
Okay, so is it the top wild card team plays all their games at home?
Yeah, the one that has
the bottom two don't.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that makes sense. But then, one of the division, the worst division winner plays the third wild card team, right?
Yes.
So the okay.
Yes.
Interesting. MLB playoffs, huh? We'll have to revisit this.
Let's go into what actually happened with the Yankees.
Not good this first game.
So
actually it was good, but bad stuff.
So just quick notes on the Red Sox series. They dropped 2 out of 3. First game, Cole pitched solid, not great. Devers got him again on that Friday game. And then Volpe at the end, when they had 2 runners on, made it interesting with a foul ball to the left field foul pole for
much
a potential walk-off.
Hurt, huh?
It sucked. I thought it was gone. But then he ended up popping out into the infield. Then game 2, Willie Calhoun and Glaber hit some homers, and then Kyle Higashioka, I believe, got an insurance double later in the game. Was it a double or I think it was with Higgy for Saturday. And then the Sunday loss was a real rough one with some just odd baseball being played towards the end in the 8th. Glaber had that mishap, but it didn't really hurt them specifically, but it wasn't a great look of when McKinney throws in the ball and it gets past him, and then the runner advanced, but obviously the next guy was walked, and then the moving chair, what is it, the musical chairs started happening, and then Kike ended up getting the Red Sox a go-ahead run in the 10th, and the Yankees dropped that game, the Sunday night baseball game, and that one, like you said, coming in that the yesterday's pissed you off, I think that Sunday night game really, really pissed me
off. Sunday
night
was bad too, yeah.
So the Yankees dropped those games to Boston, and now they'll head to Fenway this weekend to play against them once again, and they'll have
don't
a Sunday night game.
Don't lose another series to them.
Let's talk about Subway Series. I'll take game one. You could take last night's game. So game one, they win 7-6. Luis Severino on the mound. Goes 4 2/3, 6 runs, 5 of those earned, 3 walks, 4 Ks. And Luis Severino is in a weird spot.
Troubling spot.
Troubling spot would be...
I'm waving a flag a little bit, I'd say.
Yeah, because I think after the L.A. start, said, you know, chalk it up, whatever, we'll move on, see Sevy get back. And then he's looked very... different. I mean, the tick. We watched the San Diego. I was at the San Diego game at the stadium, and asked me. You said, "Man, his stuff looked different. His stuff looked really good." And then these past games, there's a tick off of his stuff. He's not throwing with the same velocity. It looks like, and he just looks different. He looks off. And he said after this after this specific game, they asked him, "Oh, was there any takeaways?" And he just flat out said, "Like, there's no." Good takeaways from this game for me, and I give him credit for owning up to it. And there's still a lot of months of baseball left, but you have to think. I've said time and time again, I feel for him because he's in a contract year, and you think, okay, Severino wants to go out there and perform so he can get
job,
he can not only help the team but he could help himself. And a lot of it's weird vibes with what's going on with Severino right now. I don't want to
He's just hanging a lot of sliders too.
Yeah, a lot of those are just hanging over the plate, and you have to hope that he turns it around.
Yeah, in his last 13 2/3 innings pitch, Rob, he's given up 17 runs.
Really bad.
As the great Joe Girardi would say, it's not what you want.
No, it is not. It's
definitely not.
It is not.
And 6 walks in there. 6 walks, 17 runs in 13 innings.
So
that's really bad, actually, to say out loud.
The course of action here. I mean, he is now.
You got to keep running him out there.
Absolutely have to keep running him out there. But
Yanks don't have a choice either way.
You're waiting for Rodon to come back. But when it comes to on the totem pole of Yankee starters and how they've performed, Severino has been. Outside of the guys that they've plugged and played in that fifth spot, Severino, as of late, Clark has been pitching a lot better. Domingo has been very good. And we know Garrett Cole has been really good. So Severino's sort of lacking behind. And we both are big Severino fans, but you just have to...
Well, I texted you, and I was like, Rob, we've had 3 pitchers this year, basically. Cole, Clark, and Herman. You know, what has Nestor and Sevy done positive to this team? Nothing.
No.
Besides, they've had a
few starts here and a start there with Nestor and Severino, but like I said before the season started when they were talking about this Yankees staff being one of the best, if not the best in baseball, I was even saying the Yankees 3-4 with Nestor and Severino, if they pitched like they did in 2022, that is a really good.
We were just saying they're so deep, you know.
They were very deep, but now you're saying, "Oh, okay." Ugh. Not looking good.
If it's going to be Herman to take one of their spots, I'm fine with it. Because Herman, I'm like, you're good, dude.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you're really good.
Yeah. I'll save that. Him and I want to talk about him and Clark towards the end because we didn't really go in depth with what they did with the Red Sox. But for the rest of this game, so Severino didn't pitch well. Stanton led it off, actually, with a home run off Verlander. And then Brandon Nimmo came back in the first and hit a home run. And they tacked on another. One with a Beatty single. McNeil then got in on a little slap single to the left side to put them up 4-1. And then Kana grounded into a fielder's choice. And the Mets are up 5-1 on the Yankees. And then finally, In the top of the fourth, DJ LeMahieu hits a two-run home run. Actually pulled this one. Most of DJ's homers are, I feel, Oppo Taco homers.
Slapping it, yeah.
Porch job. He gets it to a 5-3 game. And then Volpe has a big double. This was a big – we'll talk about Volpe.
Chicken parm, baby.
Chicken parm. Eating with – was it Austin Wells, right?
Yeah, Austin Wells.
Chilling with Austin Wells. So good eats, getting back to what he was a little bit with his guys from Somerset. So he then hits a double to get in Higgy – or, sorry, to get in IKF to make the game 5-4. And then Bowers goes ahead in a little bloop to right field that then got in Higgy and Volpe to put the Yankees up 6-5. And then some trouble – in the fifth, that really pissed me off, I will say. Boone said after the game that he was in a way allowing Severino to go through it, and that he really wanted him to get to the five innings. But
he's trying to steal outs. I mean,
he's trying to steal outs. Up to that point, yeah. Severino did not deserve to be in that game from how he started. And I know he had a, I think it was a clean fourth, and he look to settle down, but even just knowing what he's been in these past three starts and in the earlier innings,
and didn't Boone come out to try and get him out of there, or almost to come out, because I missed that part, but I saw it on Twitter.
So he was talking to him, and I don't know if Severino convinced him to say, because we know Severino is very outspoken when he wants to stay in the game, yeah, and all that, but in that situation, you gotta take him out of the game.
Yeah, he needs to be
because
pulled.
He let on before
he
Guillorme
pitched a bad game too.
He just pitched a bad game, so it's a Beatty started off with the single, or Marte flied out, but then Beatty gets the single, and then Beatty was able to get to second on a ground out to third from Pham. So you're working with a guy on second, and then mm-hmm. Guillorme comes up, who's a bottom half guy in the order, but still. I just don't have trust in Severino. So I just said, get him out. You had an off day on Monday. You have an off day on Thursday.
Off days this whole month.
A lot of off day. Off day after this Sunday. So yeah,
an off day today.
You have all these days where you can rest your pen a little bit, and just you need to win this after dropping the series. But he let him in. He left him in, and the Mets ended up tying it. But then in the top of the sixth, Donaldson was able to get a sacrifice fly, which McKinney scored on. And I think we got to talk about this, man. The masterful Clay Holmes.
Oh, dude, our bullpen's so good. And Clay Holmes.
I think you said it. Clay Holmes pitches better on the road.
Mm-hmm.
He does
significantly.
But he's had a good month stretch now. I'm not ready to say he's dynamite. He's not.
I mean, listen, he put – bases were loaded. He put two good hitters in 3-2 counts.
Yeah.
He struck them both out. So it very well could have went south.
But gross. After Wandy got into – he had a stinker. Clay came in and mopped it up. And you have to give him credit. And we've said he scares us. And –
man,
there's still a lot of baseball to play, and we've been very critical of him, and I think a lot of Yankee fans get bad vibes sometimes when he's letting on runners and his stuff isn't hitting, not spotting well, and it's just out of the zone. He is but right here and in these past outings that he's had, like the one in LA, he stepped up big time. Like Clay Holmes has looked good. Mm-hmm.
I'm also not going
to
lie.
We have to acknowledge it.
100%. And I did appreciate the decision to bring him in, because there was one out when he came in, bases juice. So I was like, all right, Clay's a strikeout pitcher and a ground ball pitcher. So if he can do one of the two, good. So I did like that they brought him in there. And yeah, what was it? He struck out Lindor
Marte
and then Marte?
Marte.
Was it Marte and Lindor? Whichever way it was. But it was kind of scary because I think he was ahead on both counts. I think he was up like 1-2 or 0-2 on both of them. And then he couldn't find the zone for a little bit, but when he struck out Marte to end the inning, he threw that first changeup away, or whatever it was. Was it a changeup? No, he threw an off speed pitch away, and Marte like just barely nicked it, and the broadcast was like going crazy, like, oh, that's the hardest foul ball tip I've ever seen, something like that. And then he throws the same pitch again, and gets him. And I don't know, I did love to see it out of Clay. And his stats on the year are kind of coming around, Rob. Like, if you look at him, you're like, oh, you're pitching well this year. He's down to a 2.48 ERA in 31 appearances. I mean, like you said, I think there will always be that level of concern at times, but we killed him, and he's pitching well now. So I'm very happy to see it. Because like we've said time and time again, Rob, we're not going to come on here and root for people to pitch bad or play bad. But we'll voice concern.
Yeah,
169 ERA plus on the year. That is second in the Yankees bullpen in terms of everyday users behind Michael King.
Yeah. So Clay
his bullpen's good.
He's been getting better. Getting better.
And they used their whole A bullpen in this game. They went from Seve to Ron to Jimmy Cordero to Tommy Canley to Wandy to Clay to King. And this doesn't even have Ian Hamilton or Loaisiga. Is it like, do you think this is the best bullpen in baseball? I think I do right now.
Yeah, statistically.
And they get used the most too.
I think they're number one, right? By most categories.
Yeah, in terms of like opponent batting average and ERA and stuff
so,
like that. Yeah.
They're standout. I mean, you're always going to have instances where a bullpen scares you and they're going to have hiccups. But yeah, they have time and time again gotten out of tough situations. And that's, I think it's, when we talk about Cashman and we'll criticize him, he does, I think that may be his best strength is putting together a bullpen.
He pumps out pens, I must. And it's like, who thought Ian Hamilton was really good for us?
Yeah.
And he's not even hurt right now.
Back? Wasn't he supposed to be out a month?
I think he just started throwing, is what I heard, or just started throwing bullpen, something like that. So I feel like, you know, line him up with Judge, something like that.
Yeah.
And Loaisiga, them three.
Yeah.
But yeah, Rob, Ian Hamilton, I mean, look, Tommy Canley hasn't allowed a run yet.
Tommy
Canley's
looked very good, too.
That's wonderful to
Tommy
see.
Tommy tight pants, yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, I haven't seen Greg Weiser. Is he hurt, or did they send him down?
I think they sent him down.
Oh, the web dog, I forgot, got hurt. Ryan Weber.
Yeah. I think he's sent down.
I love that they have IKF. Baseball Reference has IKF in the pitching category as well. Since he's made a couple mop-up appearances.
Yeah. But yeah, the Penn's been very good. Penn's been very good. All right.
Excuse me.
Game two. Let's do it.
Yes, sir. Let's do it. Rob, it was a cold day. 6 innings pitched, 1 earned run, no walks, 8 Ks. The first inning, I thought he was. What do you have a no hitter until? The 4th, 5th, something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. The first inning, I was like, all right, this guy's about to shove today. Scoreless until the 5th, Rob. Little teammate on teammate action, Justin Verlander and Garrett Cole. Tommy Pham doubles to right. Lindor scores, makes it 1-0. Hit it right over Bauer's head, I believe it was. And then Jake Bauer's right back at it in the 6th. Singles to right. Trevi scores. And then in the 7th, this was like the little IKF. It was when IKF steals home. Okay, IKF grounder into fielder's choice. Donaldson scores. And then the Mets going to Met, throwing it all around the diamond. IKF gets to 3rd. And then IKF steals home, Rob, making it 3-1. That was insane. Like, that kind of made me jump off my couch a little bit. And I haven't been doing that a lot this year. But then, right back in the 7th, Nimmo gets hit by a pitch that he leaned into. Maybe a little bit, maybe not. Alvarez scores, Vientos to 2nd, Escobar to 3rd, makes it 3-2 Mets, or 3-2 Yanks, then Marte singles to left. It's like Marte's been bad all year, and then he kind of puts together a decent series. Very frustrating for me. Escobar scores, and then Nimmo was actually thrown out at 2nd from Trevi. And then Nimmo back in the 10th, doubled over Bauer's head to center, to right center, and Escobar scored, and that was that. Really gross ABs from the Yankees in the top half of the 10th. Like non-competitive. I don't even think they got the runner over in the 10th, did they? It was Volpe, Bowers, and Stan, I think is what it was, who they sent up to. But Yanks lost that one, Rob.
Donaldson, they didn't get the runner over in the 10th.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it was really bad in 10. They went from Cole to Cordero again to Ron to Canely to Albert, who actually looked decent the inning before, but then when I saw them going another AB with him, I thought it was going to go south when they pulled him. Nick Ramirez gives up the walk-off to Nimmo.
Yeah, the killer inning was just the Cordero, the seventh, where
just can't walk the bases loaded.
Yeah, just it's that was just the tough spot. But the Yankees split this one, and
you think they're overusing Cordero?
They're
because he's been good, but they're kind of giving him.
He has, but he had been. I mean, I think they were giving him a little bit more leash because he kind of deserved it. So maybe now it's a time where you say, pull back the reins a little bit. Now maybe work in Canely a little bit more, and you have other guys come. You have Canely here, and if you want to sort of pick and choose differently now, but he did deserve the
100%.
He did deserve the because he was pitching well. But
he's third on the. On the bullpen in innings pitched above Wandy, also by a third of an inning.
This was this I don't blame him that bad. I mean, foreshadowing, I may have him as MVP of sucking just because of that bad inning. But
no, you can't blame. I mean, it's like the life of relying on your bullpen. You know,
that
some
is,
guys are gonna blow up.
And Wandy in the first game had his blow up, so you can't go too crazy over it. All right, speaking of. The acknowledgments for this series. Let's do our savages of the series.
My guys are fucking savages in that fucking box, right?
Do it.
My savage of the series will be Garrett Cole. Garrett stepped up. He had the one earned run in this one from the double from Pham. Mm-hmm. But his stuff looked really good in early innings. Only gave up 4 hits, 1 earned run, 8 Ks in this one. His ERA is now 2.75. ESPN was talking about him, and they were comparing the two with a pregame graphic that kind of pissed me off a little bit with him and Verlander. I had a feeling that Verlander would actually pitch well in this game against the because it is the Yankees, and that's what he did.
Mm-hmm.
But they had this one
Scherzer
thing where they show Verlander. Now Verlander didn't pitch the first part of the year, but the way that they framed it was they showed Garrett's first 8 starts, I think, and then his last 7 or whatever. Maybe it was first 7, last 7.
Because Garrett had a not great May,
and he had the bad like the game against Tampa and a few here and there. But he also sprinkled in a few solid starts. Not outstanding, but there were a few sprinkled in there.
What was this graphic?
I don't know if it was on the pregame while they were waiting through the rain delay. And then they showed Verlander, who had his really sort of shitty start as a Met, where Mets fans are saying, why the hell are we giving him and pretty much Max Scherzer $43 million each?
Yeah.
But they were comparing the two. And I'm saying to myself, I'm like, you can't. They were like, here's Garrett's first starts that were like pretty good, but then like look at these last 7 starts. I'm saying you can't just dismiss what the man did in his April and first part. It was amazing what he did, and he
go
and
ask
he,
any Mets fan if they'd rather have Cole or Verlander on their team so far this year. I wonder what they'd say.
I would wonder what they or Scherzer. I don't know. So I thought that was funny. For any listeners that may have known that or saw that graphic, I just thought to myself, I said, that's a little puzzling. I know they were trying
a little puzzling.
They're trying to compare the teammates saying, they've both been in rough stretches. I would say there are levels to it, and Garrett Cole is not had the same 2023 up to this point.
Yeah.
And
Garrett didn't even necessarily have like a bad stretch. He had a couple bad games.
He had some blow-up games.
And then he wasn't dominant for a few games, but he wasn't at the level of like Seve, where Seve's in a bad stretch. Cole came off from being the pitcher of the month in April, you're not going to do all year.
Listen, here's what I'll say.
Hello, everyone. Kermit the Frog here.
I think our guy, Garrett Cole, Kermit the Frog, is still going to win the Cy Young. He's got that ERA under 3. I think he's going to keep kicking ass. He may have a blow-up start here or there, but I still think he's going to just keep a steady pace, and he's going to have really amazing starts he's going to have – I think he's going to have more solid and amazing starts than he will the hiccups. And we know that the home runs came back a little bit. I think it was, say, 8 or 9 in that stretch of May that he gave up. We know the ones that he gave up against Devers and
I don't even care. He's good.
He just pitchers give up home runs in 2023. Yeah. That's what happens.
And they're also you're gonna string together 7 straight hits against Gerrit Cole.
Yeah.
So you have to swing for the fences.
Yeah. Nonetheless, I think he throws extremely hard, and when he gives you that 4-seam up in the zone, there may be times where you catch it and you hit it over the short porch or wherever. So
did you see the graphic they put up? No, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say he's still gonna win the Cy Young.
Yeah. I'm down. You just got to get Framber and McClanahan out of the way because they're balling. But they put up a graphic last night of like StatCast, like quote unquote, most effective pitches of the year. And I think the 4 dudes ahead of Cole the 4 pitchers and pitches ahead of Cole were all off speed pitches like curveballs, sliders, changeups. And then Garrett was the only fastball on that list. That's how disgusting his fastball is. So when you run into it, it's probably going to go over the fence, but you're not going to run into it very often. So,
very true.
Whoever's knocking Garrett, it's just like the Garrett haters and the Judge haters for no reason. Mm-hmm. Give me a logical reason.
I'm looking
at
McClanahan's numbers. He is dirty. That will be the tough one. And
Framber is nasty, too. You remember how good Framber was in the postseason last year?
He killed
even
us.
Just the whole year. I mean, for like, I tried
still
to
a lot of baseball left, though, Tyler. Still
yeah,
a lot
exactly.
of baseball left.
What is McClanahan's stats right now?
Well, Framber's got a 2.27 with 6-5 win-loss, 91 innings pitched. I think McClanahan's 10-1, so that may be tough. And I think his ERA is around 2-1 something. So
okay, so they are in the same stratosphere, though.
Yeah, there's a lot of baseball.
185 ERA plus. Yeah, 91 innings pitched for this year is a lot. Is Garrett up to 91 innings? Hold on. Then I'll give my Savage Garrett Cole.
91.2 innings pitched for Garrett.
Oh, fucking workhorse, Rob. Freaking workhorse.
Listen, it's just only because it's the Mets, I'll bring this up. I thought it was funny when when Mets fans were saying a few years ago, they said, oh, there's no way you can compare Gerrit Cole and Jacob deGrom. Well, one makes starts and one doesn't make starts.
One
look
pitches
at it
about 6 times a year and one never pitches.
Would you rather have a guy that's really good, say, 4 or 5 times out of the year, or a guy that literally goes out every start and pitches, and may you have a few
and
bumps
is still
in the
very
road.
Good.
And he's still, yeah, I don't know. That's just funny to me.
It's just like, find me a pitcher that doesn't have a bad start here and there. You can't, you know?
Shane McClanahan maybe this year, but I don't know.
10-1, it's kind of, I mean, I'm not a big win loss, whatever, but it's just the Rays freaking win so much.
Yeah.
I think Garrett just had his first loss, was it against the Sox?
Yes, it was his 7-1. First loss. 7-1's very good. 7-1. Yeah. And the writers that vote
the writers
for it
need
will,
that, you know?
Will,
yeah.
They'll be like, I need to see the wins. I need to see the pitcher.
I remember when Felix Hernandez won the Cy Young for the Mariners, and the, you know, the Mariners are terrible, obviously, or whatever, and it was like the first time a Cy Young Award winner had won with a losing record, because he was like 12-18
DeGrom,
or something like that.
DeGrom, I think, did it too when the Mets weren't good.
Yeah, I believe it, because I remember it was when Felix Hernandez was nasty, so we're talking probably like 10, 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. I don't remember exactly, but.
And we know Seattle wasn't good those days, so.
No. Wearing the yellow jerseys and stuff, but.
Who's your Savage of the series?
Savage of the series, Rob? I guess I have a soft spot. It's got to be Volpe. Chicken parm dinner, Rob. Austin Wells. I'm going to get on Dylan Lawson here. I should give him my MVP of sucking, because Austin Wells made a point to Volpe at this dinner, apparently, Rob, saying, hey, your stance is much more open in the majors than it was in Somerset. Does that have anything to do with it? Apparently, he closed his stance, and he hits 3 doubles in 2 games. All of that happens right after. Like, why did no hitting coach on the Yankees point that out?
I think apparently didn't the Yankees say that they didn't see anything wrong with what he was doing at the plate?
But like, what? Why can't you just point like, hey, you're struggling a lot. Like, you're hitting 180. Let's see what you did really well in the minors. You know, like
Austin
6
Wells
months
has to
ago.
Be the hitting coach now.
Exactly. So shout chicken out Austin parm. Wells and a chicken parm dinner.
Chicken parm.
Yeah, I'm gonna be
reality.
Exactly. But I saw someone put on Twitter today that Volpe just didn't even mean to, but threw him under the bus because, you know, if you know, stuff doesn't go as planned this year, and Dylan Lawson could be a scapegoat now just for little things like that.
I think
they did it with Marcus Timms too.
Listen, if they're sitting there saying, I don't see anything wrong with them.
But it's like, I don't want you to sit there and go, I don't see anything wrong. Yeah. I want you to be like, all right, we can improve in this way.
Well, it's just in front of us. Clearly there's something wrong with him. He's swinging out of his shoes.
He's on pace to hit 170 and hit 25 homers.
Yeah, I mean, he's running into homers, which is good, but we want him to get on base at a higher clip.
Yeah,
there needs to be more of a balance. So
he's got to hit a little bit. He's not Kyle Schwarber, Joey Gallo.
Yeah, I don't know. So, that was funny. Now I'm in the mood for chicken parm.
Anthony Volpe, 3-for-8, run scored, 1 RBI, 3 doubles, and Rob, he only struck out once. And considering he's leading the team in strikeouts,
headed in the right direction.
That's a plus for me. You know?
So I don't know what it was too either, but wasn't he like top in like not bad on base percentage in baseball? I saw that stat that he
let me see
in qualified at bats for major league hitters. He was in the lower half of on base, which was the biggest thing to me because
he started off really well getting on base.
Yeah, and I say it's
OBP of 264, which is bad, really bad.
I say it's a balancing act because I respect both sides of the – like, take, for instance, Francisco Lindor. Lindor has the home runs and the RBIs, but a lot of the stuff that Mets fans would be saying is, he's not getting on base as much as we need him to
in
spots. I
still think Lindor stinks.
And he's doing that, and the conversation is he an overrated player, as you probably would agree with, and with the money that he's being paid. But that's what I would say that I don't want Volpe to do is the home runs are great, but also – There needs to be – that's
such
why
a weapon
it's,
on the bases too, Rob.
And he's a weapon on the bases, and we want him to get on base. And that's why I'm saying, in new age baseball, which I respect, is we don't really care too – like if a guy's hitting between 240, 260, that's okay because as long
league
as –
league average is 244 this year.
As long as you're getting on base and you're slugging. But it's just – it's a weird stat line with Volpe prior to this series and hopefully – builds on it is when we're seeing okay he has those 8-9 home runs, but he's not getting on base, and we want him to be a weapon on there, and it's a balancing act with what he's doing, where we want to see him get on base and see the pop here and there, but we want him to utilize all the tools that he has, which he wasn't able to do because he's swinging out of his shoes or doing this, doing that. But
like his 3 doubles that he hit in this series, I wanted him to do, like, he was using the whole field. I haven't seen him really do that at all this year.
Yeah.
I mean, he has 8 doubles on the year, and 3 of them were in the last 2 games.
I just saw a stat that the Yankees are, I think, tied for second to last in doubles this year. So
really?
Get that.
I know they're not great in team on base percentage either, but you gotta hope with more Stanton time and Bader coming back, and Judge still a while away.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking he's close at all, honestly.
We can't think about it too soon yet. All right, MVPs of sucking real quick.
They stink.
I'm going to go with Jimmy Cordero because of that blow-up inning that then allowed the Mets when the Yankees were up 3-1. Like we said, when he gets a little bit more burn, he may get burned. So it's weird. I do like Cordero. Just got to see him maybe not as many high leverage situations, but it's also the Yankees don't have the luxury
don't
to do that
choice,
with. So, but that's who I would go with for mine.
Be careful, Rob. He's jacked.
I know. He beat the shit out of me.
Rob, I think this is going to be a double for him in terms of, or a back-to-backer in terms of MVPs of sucking. It's got to be Sevy, right?
Yep.
4.2 innings pitched, 6 runs, 5 earned, 3 walks, 4 Ks. I mean, simply not getting it done, Rob. Boone made the point after that a couple of relievers were not available in Game 2. One could easily point out that was due to Sevy's 4.2 innings pitched. We used our entire bullpen. I rattled that off earlier in the program. but he's sitting at a 6.48 ERA, Rob, on the year. He's got an ERA plus of 65. League average is 100 in 25 innings pitched. And like I said, can't give up five earned. It's the game the Yankees won, thankfully, so we can kind of throw this one on the back burner and not worry about it. But again, Rob, three really bad starts to point out 17 runs in his last 13.2 innings pitched. Not what you want. So going to need Seve to show me something. Doesn't have to be something great, but you can't do this
at all. No, you can't.
You can go five and give up three, and it can be a laboring five, but you can't. You can't do this,
yeah,
Rob.
I also, too.
Three straight games of this.
I wanted to talk about, I think I had mentioned it earlier, about two guys that I actually wanted to give. We haven't done this acknowledgement in a while. Are who's got that dog in them?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit, dog.
Hug it out.
So I want to acknowledge these two guys now. And I've been hard on. Okay. I've been challenging Clark Schmidt because I don't know what his role is in the long term with the Yankees.
Oh, he was
right
frustrating.
He needs to be in the rotation. And he pitched very well against Boston this past Sunday. And then Domingo Germán was very good on Saturday night. So you're looking at those two guys that we were saying debating for the five spot, and now because of the circumstances, they are the two guys behind Cole that are pitching the best. And it's crazy. I know Domingo was a guy that won 18 games, and you say, well, is that just inflated because of wins and the Yankees giving him run support and in those certain situations? But Domingo's got really good stuff, and he's a very good pitcher. And then you look at Clark Schmidt, who's now finally putting it together a little bit and getting in a more comfortable situation than he was in April and the start of May. So I have to say they've got that dog in them up to this point, and and when you have, like you said, with Severino being just in a funk, you need those guys to fill in, and that's what they're doing. And then we see Rodon is ramping up. He's got a the summer
just
set
traded for him in fantasy.
The summer set schedule start, is that today? I think it may
he's
be
supposed
today.
To throw a he's supposed to throw a live BP today, and then if that goes well, then he gets put on an assignment.
Yeah, so that I think it may be this weekend. I saw a announcement about
so
it.
So then what you think? Three, maybe four.
We'll face hitters
minor league
in
games?
Somerset. So today he's facing guys in Somerset. So
he's still, but that's like a live. That's like a live BP.
Okay.
Like. He's not making a start.
So
right?
Maybe could
so
it,
he'll do live BP and then he'll have three or four starts probably.
Okay.
So you're talking, what's his middle of June? You're talking
start of July.
3 weeks. 3 weeks I think is generous. Ish. 3-4 weeks I think.
Yeah, so probably start middle of July, which will be, Baltimore
maybe,
or Chicago.
Yeah. Maybe he gets a start right before the All-Star break.
He could.
You know?
Please do, because we want to know if you exist or not, which we've seen videos of, so it's good.
He also nailed Willie Calhoun in the elbow, almost killed him in BP.
That's all we need.
I saw a bunch of people on Twitter like, Houston sent Carlos Rodon to kill the Yankees from the inside. But speaking of Clark, Rob, in his last eight games, last eight games pitched since May 3rd, he's only given up more than three runs one time. And he's given up less than three runs, two runs or less, six out of his eight last starts. It's pretty good.
Pitching well.
Pretty good. I like Clark. He kind of just was really bad at the beginning of the year, kept throwing his cutter, kept throwing the curveball, and it's kind of working out, you know? He's faced some good lineups in there. He faced Baltimore, Seattle. I guess you can't throw the White Sox in there, but you could, maybe. Boston. Tampa Bay lit him up, obviously. But he's not kind of just he's taking what he can get right now. I'm proud of Clark, so. Done more than Nestor.
Right. That's true. That's true.
We'll see.
As well as the Yankees are getting back this weekend, the master Bader.
Bader's still in the afterglow of the blast he just unloaded.
So he'll be back. He'll be back this weekend, which will be fun.
Stay on the field, dude.
Boston. Yeah, please stay on the field. I will be heading to Beantown for the games. So I'm pretty excited. My first time seeing Yankees Red Sox at Fenway. I've been to Fenway before, but this will be – it's been a while. So I'm going to your stomping grounds of where you used to track out to Fenway when you were living up there. So
make sure to grab your sausage and peppers right outside the stadium.
Yeah, I've been told the Fenway food – I mean, the last time I went, the Fenway food was not good. So I've always said Yankee Stadium is the gold standard when it comes to concessions.
They just have so much. Like, Fenway doesn't have that many options. Yeah. It's just like –
well, it's just such an old – like it is.
Yeah.
I don't think the means can really support like what Yankee Stadium, which can do. Because people say it's a mall. Yeah. It has a lot of stuff though. You know, it has all this food that you can
like, you can't
for.
Even see the field in Fenway until you're like,
yeah. So,
in your seat.
So we got some pretty solid seats. So I'm going to the game tomorrow as well as the game on Saturday. So I'm very pumped to see the boys out there. I'm a little disappointed we don't get to see Judge, but I guess it's somewhat of a pickup to then see Bader, which will be
and you should see good. Stanton, and you should see the full lineup
Stanton,
tomorrow.
Stanton, Rizzo, and I hope we get some hits, man. I gotta get some hits. It may rain on Saturday, which I'm a little concerned about, but we'll have to see. Because the prices for these games this weekend, because it's the first time at Fenway, first time for them at Fenway, I was like, Jesus, these tickets are expensive.
Oh yeah, where are you sitting?
So game two we're in the bleachers, so in the right field bleachers.
Okay.
Not like under the overhang, we're out by the bullpen, actually pretty close to the bullpen.
Yeah, so. I like the bleachers. I've sat there a couple times.
And then game one we are sitting pretty somewhat close in the left side, like a section right before the front level rows, I think. So we're in some pretty good seats. Spent a pretty penny on those. So
yeah.
I need to see a dub tomorrow, boys. Stanton, I need to see a monster home run tomorrow. That's what I'm
hell
saying.
Yeah. Make it worth it. Fenway's got a lot of good seats though, since it's so tiny.
Yeah, it is so tiny. I'm like,
you forget until you're there. You're like, holy shit!
No,
this
I think
place is like
I forgot when I went, and then I went to Yankee Stadium, and I went, holy shit! It is small compared to other stadiums.
Yeah, exactly. It's so small. I feel like I've sat basically everywhere there except the monster. But
yeah, I'm doing. So I told you I'm doing the tour, so I'll be able to go on the monster and see everything like that. So that'll be fun.
One day I'll grab standing room up there. Standing room on the monster is only like $150.
They're pretty expensive to sit on the monster, at least for that game. Maybe other games it's different, but yeah. So at Fenway this weekend, I will be in attendance, and then next week they have the off day on Monday, and then they play Seattle, Texas at home, and then they make a little West Coast trip somewhat, because then they go out to Oakland and St. Louis before we hit July. So big guys got to hit. Top of the lineup's got to produce this weekend and throughout the rest of June until Judge gets back, hopefully, sooner rather than later.
Have to take this series, or else you're looking at three straight not series wins.
Just not even looking at the pride of just beating the Red Sox. You have to freaking win, because you split, but I don't really count that as a series, but you dropped the last two series.
You haven't won a series.
And Boston. We haven't won a series since the L.A. trip. So,
feels like a long time ago. Since Judge smashed his toe, we haven't won a damn series.
Yeah. Get back to winning series.
Fucking Dodgers,
that's the name
man.
Of the game. We'll continue to say it's the name of the game. But that's it for episode number 150. Really appreciate you guys for joining us. As always, subscribe, leave us a rating and review wherever you are listening. Spotify, Apple, we're on Amazon now, everywhere. So go leave us a rate and review. We'll really appreciate it. And follow us on our social media channels, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube as well. Subscribe to us over there. So really appreciate you guys for listening to this episode number 150. We'll catch you at 151. Peace.